from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the closing market report. It is the 13th day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later on, we'll look at the cash grain market with TGM's Matt Bennett. As we close out the program, Pete Levitt will be here to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. And we'll have a new installment from Lisa Brawls enter in my backyard segment. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. September corn contract was up 6 cents. The September wheat was up 12, and September soybeans were 3 higher. This is the way the settlement prices from the CME Group did come in. The hard red finished, soft red finished at $8.79 in that September contract, 12 higher. December at 9.02 up 12, and July futures of next year for the new crop, $8.78, 10.5 cents higher. Now the hard red in Kansas City, $8.93.5, up 3.75 for the day. From the corn pit back in Chicago, September up 6 cents, $7.77. The settlement price, rather the closing price, settlement's yet to come. December, $7.74.25, up 4.75, and the March at $7.77, up 3.75. May, $7.75.5, up 4.5, and July, $7.66.5, up a nickel. Next year's December, $6.50. 2.75, up 0.5 cent. September beans, $17.43.75, up 3. November at $17.46, up 0.25. January futures, $17.49, 4.5 higher. In the March soybeans, $17.05.75, up a dozen. May futures, $16.19 in the bean, up 16 cents, and July at $15.86.25, up 14.25. November futures of next year, 18 cents higher at $13.91.5. September bean meal, $5.36, up 60 cents. Bean oil at $56.11, up 20 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the October at $127.55, down 15 cents. December at $130.35, 35 cents lower. September feeders at $145 even, up a nickel. October at $147.25, down 35 cents. That's for 100 weight. And the October contract in the lean hog, $73.55, up 12.5 cents. December at $72.37.5, up 2.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil for the day at $98.02 a barrel, up a dollar and a penny. RBOB gasoline, they're the wholesale price at $2.96 even. That's down 4.1 cents. And the ethanol at $2.42.4 is just about 0.4 cents higher for the day. The difference between the two is a positive 53 cents, and that's good for blending ethanol into the marketplace. Natural gas at $3.35, 2.8 cents lower. A heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.21.1 cents. That's just about 0.3 cents lower on the afternoon. Gold futures today at $1,769.50 an ounce, up $38.40. The dollar at 79.26, down 0.47 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers are likely, 30% in the area, mostly cloudy, a high of 83 with a west wind at 6 to 8, and then they become likely overnight with a low of 52 degrees on a north wind at 8 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation this evening at 60%. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 73 on a northeast wind at 7 to 10. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 50, northeast winds at 5 miles an hour. Sunny skies on Saturday and 76. Saturday night, mostly clear and 50. Sunny and a high near 76 on Sunday, and Sunday night mostly clear and a low of 53 degrees. By the time we get to Monday, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 75 degrees, and on Monday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low 54. Partly sunny Tuesday with a 67-degree high. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 44 degrees. And Wednesday, we'll see sunny skies and a high near 67 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast a bit later in the program. We should talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levin right here on Illinois Public Media. It is the 13th day of September, a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look here at the closing market report at what happened in the futures markets, Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, a couple of those numbers that I read earlier from the corn market kind of sparked my interest, although it appears they changed on their settlement prices, so I suppose they have gone away now, but there were two 777s there, and those are lucky. I don't know whether that means they were lucky to the upside or to the downside, but maybe you can divine which.
Well, the corn market probably, at least at the moment, may kind of want to be kind of a flat situation because the pipeline, the supply, is tight, and I think the market's going to continue to want cash corn coming into the pipeline. Ethanol production is still purring along fairly decent, and that's where the big demand's at. Export demand's pretty well falling off, at least for right now. You still have domestic feed demand from the livestock and poultry sector. So I think probably what you're going to see is a fairly not much of a carry-type market, or may even be in a premium-type market. And basically what that does is tell the producer, or it discourages the producer from holding because there's just no carry in the marketplace. So I think that's what you're going to see there. In soybeans, we've been inverted. Now, today we kind of had a reversal of that. We had some strength in the summer months. That just may be some spread trading, unwinding of spreads that were maybe put on yesterday during the big push-up in soybeans. So you don't necessarily know if this is just kind of a fallout or a reaction from the shorts may be buying some summer months yesterday, and then some front ends, and they're unwinding some of those spreads. So you just don't know until this market settles down, I think, from USDA's crop report.
Can we take up the export market for just a bit? USDA's report yesterday morning showed what I think, and Darrell Good tells us, is a 27-year low at 1.25 billion bushels for exports. That seems awfully low. What do you think of that number?
Well, if we keep the mandate in place and ethanol stays competitive in the marketplace, we're going to grind a lot of corn for ethanol. I don't see nothing backing off. As long as that is profitable, that's going to occur. We're already cutting feed usage significantly. So the one that's got to get left out on a rationing process is going to be the export market. And, you know, as of right now, we do have actually corn coming into the country. Argentine corn is coming into the southeast to take care of the poultry and pork demand in the Carolinas and in the southeast feed market. So I know that looks awful low. That may end up being the case, but it's going to be, we don't know exactly what the final number is. I think everybody took USDA's number after they thought a little bit about it, that we're probably going to see some more fine-tuning of everything in October. Now, there's no doubt that we're probably going to see a higher planted acre, but my guess is, from what I can understand, we're going to probably see a little higher percentage of the harvested acreage cut back, and then that, you know, that, so the production may not be quite as large as what USDA reported yesterday.
You don't happen to be of a mind that 1.25 is still a high number for the exports?
Well, it could be. I mean, something's going to get left out. We'll have to see, you know, what happens in the South American growing season. But exports are terrible. You can just see that. And somebody has to get squeezed out, and exports most likely going to get squeezed out, possibly. Now, the thing that you got, that's the big news item here today, is basically outside market activity, with the Fed deciding to helicopter some more money into the economy for about $40 billion a month or something like that. Now, that is the dollar was sharply lower. Gold prices sharply higher here today, about $31. You can see that the dollar was down a half a point. So I think that's telling you that we're, again, going to go through a worldwide currency devaluation. So it's going to take more dollars, more yens, more euros, more of everything for these commodities. So it's going to be interesting how that plays out. I think you're going to, you know, the politicians just around the world are just going to print money thinking that they can bail their way out of it. And what it's going to do is probably raise the prices of commodities.
This is an argument.
And the dollar weakness may end up, bringing business to the United States.
So this is an argument you've made for about a year that eventually we would get caught up in an inflationary run, and that while the price of grains may look high, it would just be that inflation was inflating the price of grains as opposed to being really higher priced, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can see this morning's report showed you inflation picking up, and then Bernanke on top of that comes out with another quantitative easing program, printing more money. So, I mean, I don't know what, and I think the marketplace is going to struggle with what actually is something worth. When you have so much money floating around, you don't know what the value of stuff is anymore. And we're just in a new era here. And, I mean, you have to say that the weakness of the dollar and the printing of the money has to have something to do with these $17 beans and $7-$8 corn. I mean, we're just not there for the fun of it. Yes, we do have a short crop, but it also tells you how many dollars the Fed has actually printed here over the past 10 years.
Given what happened yesterday in the numbers from USDA, what happened today with the Fed, are you of a mind that cash sales should be made off the combine for either of those two crops?
Well, I think the producer, if they make cash sales, and I sure wouldn't discourage that, you need some money, but you also need to be in position to take advantage of higher prices if we do get in ourselves into a big inflationary surge down the road here, or weather problems in South America. I mean, when you look at your world supplies, availability, the stocks-to-use ratio is very low around the world. The cupboards are bare. If we would get into any weather problems in the southern hemisphere, or if our weather problems here in the northern hemisphere continue, when you take into account all the money that is being printed around the world, I think people should stay in position to take advantage of higher prices.
Anything that the livestock producer ought to be thinking and considering at this point? I suppose they were hopeful that the marketplace, especially for corn, might start to slip given the increase in total supply of corn that USDA had put into the numbers yesterday.
Well, it may. I mean, technically, the corn chart does look like corn is in trouble. I mean, I'm viewing a daily chart. It looks to me like we kind of got a rounded head and shoulders top formation. We broke down now underneath the 50-day moving average. You know, one of the reasons today is a rally day probably can be attributed to oversold technical conditions. The key will be whether or not this commodity strength in the short term will be able to follow through tomorrow and see what kind of closes we end up for the week. But the corn market, at least in the short run, looks heavy. Soybeans now, on the other hand, looks like they're in solid shape to maybe take on something, another $2 higher or something. So the balance sheet in beans are very, very skinny, just like it is in corn. But the corn balance sheet, the reason the trade had such a bearish reaction to it, they expected harvested acres to come down in the USDA decided to wait until October to tweak those acres. So supplies are so tight, and if the money presses are going to continue, it's kind of hard to get super bearish anything. But we could get ourselves into a panic-type situation and still would not rule out probably a deflationary spiral if people lose confidence in the government and the Federal Reserve system.
On that note, we'll let you go. Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He joins us from Mandeville, Louisiana, on this Thursday afternoon. You can always hear Dan again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. Can't hear us on the radio, can't pick us up off willag.org. How about this number, 217-333-3434. It's just an answering machine, voicemail, a phone line. Dial it up, and at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day, you'll hear an updated set of numbers from the CME Group in Chicago and a bit of analysis. That's at 217-333-3434.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue, beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow-cooked over a wood-fired smoker. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. And from Common Ground Food Co-op, now at Lincoln Square Mall, featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. Learn more on their website at www.commonground.coop.
This is the Farm Doc Daily Podcast. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Up next, Lisa Braltz and her In My Backyard segment. This week, she heads to Arthur, Illinois, and finds that there is a whole lot more to a pumpkin patch than prize-winning pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns.
This is Matt Condal, and he's about to tell you something I'm sure you didn't know.
What we have to realize is North America is the only place in the entire planet that has an orange pumpkin. So when we think of pumpkins, it immediately think of a harvestable jack-o'-lantern pumpkin. But that is not the case anywhere else in the world. You know, Australia is blue, slate blue pumpkins. Japan is a dark, blackish pumpkin. France is a red pumpkin. South Africa is a flat white pumpkin, maybe a green pumpkin. You know, you could go on and on and on, but no one else has this orange jack-o'-lantern pumpkin that we have.
I took a ride down Interstate 57 not long ago to investigate what was going on at the Great Pumpkin Patch in Arthur, Illinois. It's serious Amish country down there. Lots of laundry on the line and lots of horses and buggies. But it turns out it's also serious pumpkin country. The Condal family, who are not Amish, have been on their 200 acres in Arthur for six generations, since 1859, and have become legendary in downstate Illinois for their 63 acres and hundreds of varieties of pumpkins, gourds, and squash. There's also their so-called Wall of Squash, which has visited the White House, by the way, their homestead bakery, and other fun stuff you find in the nooks and crannies and various rustic outbuildings of the farm when you visit. Mac, who we just heard from a moment ago, is a hip young guy who wouldn't look out of place at an Avett Brothers show or a tech conference. When I say pumpkin farmer, a guy like him doesn't necessarily spring to mind. Turns out, he's a very degreed and extremely well-traveled expert on pumpkins, gourds, and squash, who, despite the fact he could have lived and worked just about anywhere on the planet, wanted to not just keep things going on the farm in Arthur, but to make them even better.
I was always, you know, whether I was sitting in an econ class or whatever, I was always, you know, how does this translate to pumpkins in Arthur, Illinois? And that's what I wanted to do, create things on our family land and, you know, offer that up to the world.
He manages operations at the patch with help from his brothers, their families, his parents, and several other people extremely dedicated to what the Great Pumpkin Patch is all about, showing people you can take food literally from dirt to dessert in the same place, on the same property. Even though most of central Illinois only pays close attention to the patch at harvest time, dirt to dessert is serious business on the farm year-round. Three missions, one family, Matt calls it. Mission number one is the seeds. Mac's brother, Kit, started an heirloom seed company years ago, and Mac picked things up where Kit left off. These rare and pure pumpkin and gourd seeds come from seeds Mac sends to growers all over the country who have the space to grow them out and protect them from cross-pollination with other varieties. Mission number two is that 63-acre pumpkin patch. There are four species of pumpkins and squash, but hundreds of varieties. Between May and mid-July, they plant out thousands of plants, many of them heirlooms, many of them plants that will yield jack-o'-lanterns and giant prize-winner pumpkins. Their soil is healthy, Max says, due to a three-year crop rotation system, and this year's drought has even been good for some of the varieties.
Your Kushaws are a mixta, and that's a Southwest U.S. of A. sort of Native American variety, and they absolutely love the heat. And so we have never had such a good Kushaw crop, and they are bigger than ever. No marks on them, no, you know, disease, and they're going to be amazing. Whereas Maximas, which are like your buttercups and the big fleshy stem, the big heart-shaped leaf, they like a little cooler and a little wetter. So last year we had quite a bit of rain in the early summer, and which was great, and the Maximas were outstanding. They're not as good as the mixtas this year.
Mission number three is the bakery, the dessert part of the equation. The young women in the bakery use ingredients off the farm whenever possible during the season, and those baked goods get out into the world via their own shop and some farmers markets. The drought has lifted. Fall's dropping some pretty big hints lately. It feels good to get outside, get out of town a bit, breathe some fresh air.
When the football starts being thrown around and you get that first 45-degree night where you're like, ooh, jeans feels good, that's when it's pumpkin time, and we're certainly coming upon that now.
For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks go to Lisa Braltz for the In My Backyard segments, along with our own Dave Dickey for his production expertise.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd. And
last week you said you'd be pretty close to wrapping up corn harvest in your area. Not a very good corn harvest, I suspect, but how close are you now?
I would say in our immediate area there's half the farmers are done, and then the other half anywhere from probably half done to mostly done. So it's wrapping up pretty quickly on corn.
Anybody put the bean head on yet?
There's been several guys getting them ready, but there's been very few beans cut. I have heard of three or four fields, but it's not going on in very big fashion yet.
Expectations better for the beans than they are for the corn, or is it just...
Yeah, I believe so. I think talking to most guys, they feel like their first field of beans isn't going to be as good as their second, and then their second's not going to be as good as their third, and so on. You know, mostly just because of the rain with the longer season, beans are going to help them out just a little bit more, and I think that's a general consensus, so it'll be interesting to see if that's what pans out.
How's basis holding up in the area? But it's strong.
Oh, basis, you know, for this time of year, obviously, is pretty good. It just depends. I mean, it depends on which processor you're looking at. And for the most part, you know, we have had some times where we've been a little bit weaker, but the last week or so, it's held right in there pretty good.
What are your expectations for it as the months roll on? You think it'll get better?
Well, I think the basis is going to be a factor of a couple of things, probably quality of the corn, of course, and then second of all, I think regionally we're going to be in some areas where there's just not a whole lot of corn, and I personally would like to throw in there in my minute of talking with you that I think that the USDA is still quite high on their corn number.
All right, and your bids for the day?
1740 on cash beans, 1748 for Jan, and then 783 for both cash and Jan corn.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Peanut Day. Peanuts originated in South America, probably Brazil and Peru. Records show that in the 1800s, peanuts were grown commercially in South Carolina. The first notable increase in U.S. peanut consumption came during the Civil War. Soldiers on both sides turned to peanuts for food. In this day in agricultural history in 1755, Oliver Evans was born, an American millwright. He invented the first automatic corn mill. The mill used bucket elevators and horizontal screw conveyors to move the grain and a hopper boy to cool and dry the meal. In 1833, Calcutta, India, received its very first shipment of imported ice from Boston in a special insulated hold of the Clipper Tuscany. About 80 tons was lost through melting. 124 tons made it to port. At first, ice sales were disappointing. Calcutta residents did not know what to make of this novel method for cooling drinks. In 1851, Walter Reed was born, a U.S. Army pathologist. He led the experiments that proved that yellow fever is transmitted by the bite of the mosquito. Until then, it was believed that yellow fever was transmitted through clothing and bedding soiled by body fluids from yellow fever sufferers. And in 1857, Milton Hershey was born. Hershey, an American manufacturer, founded the Hershey's Chocolate Corporation. Among his innovations, using fresh milk in the production of caramels and building of what was then the world's largest chocolate manufacturing plant. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Usually we're joined by Pete Levitt. He's not available today. I do have a look at the weather forecast around the planet. And as you might suspect, because we're in the month of September and heading into October, things are in flux, but things look an awful lot alike, depending on where you are on the world, especially in the growing regions. We'll start in Lincoln, Nebraska this afternoon, where skies are sunny, and we'll stay that way all the way through Monday with highs in the upper 70s to the very low 80s for daytime. The nighttime lows, 46, 52, 57 by the time we get to Sunday evening. They'll have a 30% chance of thunderstorms, light rain then as well. It'll be partly cloudy on a Monday night in Lincoln, Nebraska, about 47 degrees. Moline, Illinois, sunny skies today, tomorrow, and Saturday. We're actually tomorrow on Saturday. A little rainfall yet this afternoon. 80% chance of rain there. 62 degrees this afternoon. 73 tomorrow for the high. Mostly sunny in Moline. 76 on Saturday. Sunday, mostly sunny in 77. Rain returns with a 50% chance on Monday. And a 72-degree high. The overnight lows there in the upper 40s, lower 50s. And as we make our way closer to home in the Urbana-Champaign area, 70s in the highs for the next 3 days. Sunny skies. Monday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. The lows overnight, 47, 50, and 53. A 40% chance of showers on Monday evening with a low of 54 degrees. And Dayton, Ohio this week, 70 degrees tomorrow, 73 on Saturday under sunny skies. Mostly sunny on Sunday, 74, and Monday, sunny skies in 77. There. Lows at 46, 49, and 53 overnight. 57 degrees on Monday evening. The temp comes up, but with that, they get a 30% shot at getting a little rainfall. And then let's move to South America. We're in Sao Paulo. They're in the 80s this week, lower 80s, mostly cloudy tomorrow with an 83-degree top. 40% chance of showers in Sao Paulo, Brazil tomorrow on Saturday, and 82 degrees. Sunday, that chance of rain increases to 60%, 82 again. Again, rainfall on Monday in Sao Paulo. The low is overnight, just 64 degrees in Sao Paulo with chance of rainfall each and every night. And then Rosario, Argentina, as they move into their planting season, 74 and clear today, 84 and thunderstorms tomorrow, 78 and thunderstorms on Sunday, and an 80% chance of rain there on Monday and 76 degrees, 61 degrees for the overnight lows during that time frame. And one other growing season to check up on that in Jilin, China, the northeastern portion of China, where they are in the midst of the harvest season, partly cloudy today, 64 degrees, 69 tomorrow, 69 on Sunday, and 67 Monday, all overcast days. The lows there, 43 to 52 degrees. They do have an 80% chance of rainfall on Monday evening, that in Jilin, China. You can catch up on all the weather forecast anytime you'd like, most of the time, up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois. dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report for a Thursday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.